Good morning. It's Pastor Rich and Judy Klein from Cornerstone Fellowship Assembly of God in Wormleysburg, Pennsylvania. And we're so glad to be with you this morning on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday morning. Judy, why don't you give a greeting?
Hey, it's so good to see everyone. I hope you've had a really good week. And, you know, when I think about the resurrection, it just brings so much joy to my heart. And even though we're in some challenging times right now, I hope that you're able to just really reflect on the goodness of God and really focus on what this day means to us in our relationship with Jesus. So we bless you, we love you, and we just welcome you to this online service today.
Amen. God bless you all. Why don't you bring the family in and let's celebrate the resurrection together. John, our brother John Carnacchio, is going to lead us in a prayer and some scriptures this morning. Jim and Joelle and Zitch will be playing some music in the background. And we just can't wait to do this together in person.
Easter morning. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's, for Christians around the world, it is the most holy of holiest days. It's a day to remember, to celebrate, to commemorate. Because it's a day of life. The whole Bible, the gospel, hinges on this one day. Paul said, if Christ hasn't risen from the dead, we're still dead in our sins. But today we have life and we have hope. And even in the midst of this crisis that we're all, I guess, getting adjusted to, we still find that God is alive and well. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to read you a familiar portion of scripture from Matthew's gospel. Chapter 28. Matthew pens these words. He says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen. As he has said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a day to find joy in, to find hope in. It's a day that brings us assurance and confidence. In the midst of what's going on in our world today, we can find great hope. And today I pray, Father, for all of those that are watching from home. I pray your blessing. I pray your Holy Spirit would minister to each of us today, and that families would find hope sitting in front of a TV or a camera or a computer. Father, nothing will ever take away from the hope that we have in you. You're just as real today as you ever were. And Lord, our final hope and our destiny is still yet to come. But we thank you for today, and we pray a blessing over your word, and we pray a blessing over everyone that's watching today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
The salvation work of Jesus Christ has two prongs to it, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Crucifixion on Friday, resurrection on Sunday. Those two things have changed and transformed the lives of countless millions of people around the world down through the years. Those two components, the forgiveness of sin and the restoring of relationship, or the resurrection, bringing us back into relationship with the Father, those two things are necessary in order for mankind to be reestablished in right relationship with God. You might remember that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, were put out of the garden, out of the presence of God, out from where God dwelt on the earth. Having been disconnected in relationship, they were now on their own until mankind began to seek after God. When we begin to seek after God, the experiences of our hearts and our lives, the experiences that we have come to know, the experiences of our pain and our suffering, our grief and our sorrow, all of those things can begin to cloud our vision of God. But when we come to this Resurrection Sunday morning, we're reminded that the early disciples, when they saw Jesus, they didn't exactly recognize him at first. And one of the reasons was because their experience with sorrow and grief. Let me read for you from John, the 20th chapter. We're going to start with verse number 11 and read through verse 18. Our friend John Garnacchio read Matthew's account of the same story, but let's just read now from John chapter 20, reading about Mary Magdalene's experience with the resurrected Jesus. John 20, verse number 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. What an amazing story when we remember how Jesus changed Mary Magdalene's heart and life, and the friendship that she had with him. And the relationship that she had with him. And then the sorrow of seeing him crucified. We can hardly imagine what it must have been like to witness Jesus Christ, or anyone for that matter, being crucified by the Roman soldiers. But having seen Jesus crucified, and all of her hope, and all of her joy and plans for the future and her relationships all suddenly died when Jesus died. When Jesus died, the sorrow and the grief that entered Mary's heart, which is understandable, grief is a normal human response to loss. Christians, believers around the world can tell you that we're not immune to pain and to sorrow and to suffering and to loss, and especially grieving. But we grieve with expectancy. The expectancy is of seeing the loved ones whom we've lost again, had they known Jesus Christ as well. Jesus had said on one occasion, "Because I live, you will live also." So our hope has always been that we will see our loved ones again. So much of the time, when we think about the resurrection, we're actually thinking about our own mortality and our own death and our loved ones and those that we've lost and times of sickness and death and suffering, such as we're experiencing around the world and in the country right now and have existed since the dawn of human existence. Our feelings of loss and grief are understandable. But those pains and those sorrows oftentimes overshadow our vision. Our vision of Jesus, our vision of God can be skewed by the pain and the sorrow that we're going through. So Mary shows us a great piece of advice or wisdom we can glean from her testimony and recognize how when we're looking for the wrong Jesus, we may not find the real Jesus. For example, Mary was not looking for a living Jesus. She was looking for a dead Jesus. She was looking for Jesus' body. When she came to the garden after the days had been accomplished for Passover, after the Sabbath was over, she came looking for the tomb, and she was expecting to see the body of Jesus Christ. She was going to prepare his body properly for a proper burial. She was not expecting to find a risen or a living Jesus. She was expecting to find a dead Jesus. And may I just suggest that if we are expecting Jesus to be dead, as in my lifetime, back in the late 60s, early 70s, the announcement had been made by atheists around the world, and scientific, rational minds were saying that God is dead. She was not looking for a risen Savior. She was looking for a dead one. And the truth that that would teach us is that if you're looking for a dead Jesus, you might just find a dead religion. But if you're looking for a living Savior, you're likely to find a living relationship with God, one where you begin to know him and he begins to know you, and you have relationship, and you can say that to the best of my ability, as much as a man or woman can, I feel as though I know him. He's not dead, he's living. So I just want to encourage you that if you've been looking for a dead Savior, you may be looking in the wrong direction. Let's look for a living Savior. The next thing that she saw was that when Jesus actually began to speak to her and to call her by name, then she responds with the word teacher. She was thinking that Jesus was an amazing rabbi. He was an amazing teacher, or we like to say today, the historical Jesus. The Jesus who is the Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was the carpenter's son, the one that we can trace back through history. In fact, we actually have more proof written and recorded for us that Jesus existed than we do that Shakespeare existed. No one doubts that Shakespeare ever existed. We all have the belief that Shakespeare existed because of the things that he wrote and the records about him in history. Like Plato, like Aristotle, like Socrates, like many great men and women of old who have brought philosophical ideas that have improved and encouraged mankind. Mary, when she called him teacher, is kind of putting Jesus in the midst of the historical Jesus, the one that people often think about today, the one that can be researched in science, a historical Jesus. But if you look for a historical Jesus, even if he is a resurrected one, instead of finding if you're looking for a historical Jesus, instead of finding a living Savior that is at the right hand of the Father, the one who was God, who had come in the flesh, you might find a watered-down version of Jesus. And a watered-down version of Jesus is nice. What he taught, what he did was amazing and wonderful, but not as wonderful as when you know that he is actually God who came in the flesh. So if you're looking for a dead Jesus, you might find a dead religion. If you're looking for a historical Jesus, you might find a historical relationship or a historical revelation or an old faith. The third thing that can happen is that we could be actually looking for a Jesus that we want to hold to, and it's built more on a sentimental desire and feeling and hope. The old Jesus that used to come to Mary's house, the old Jesus that used to come and she would be able to serve him at her table, the Jesus that she had friendship with, the one that she loved so much and had taught her so much, that Jesus is the one that she wanted to hold on to. But Jesus said, "You can't cling to me because I've not yet ascended to my Father." No one had ever said that before. No one had ever experienced that before. Mary is having an encounter with Jesus, not recognizing that her friend and the old sentimental relationship that she had with him was much more than that. He was actually the very God of all gods. He was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He was the Word that was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. But much more than even that, he was saying, if you let me go and you stop seeing me as a sentimental friend, but as you begin to see me as not only the risen Savior, but the ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ, you will find out that I'll not only be your friend at your table, but I can be a friend to the world. Sinners can be saved anywhere and everywhere, and anyone can be his friend, and he can love them, and they can love him and have relationship. And then Jesus does something even more. He says, I want you to go and tell my brothers. He's not thinking of his own flesh and blood, although it included them. He's actually thinking of you and me and the early disciples that he called later apostles, and those who were followers of his that he upgraded their relationship, and then he called them, you're not going to be just my servants, you're going to be my friends. And now he upgrades them and says, you're not just going to be my friends, but you're actually going to be adopted into the family of God. And so that you can say, the God who is Jesus, God and Father, is now my God and my Father. And so that Jesus, Father, is now our Father. He is our Father, which makes us brothers and sisters. The relationship with mankind had been fully restored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the exciting thing that I can't get away from in my own personal life and walk right now is that the life that Jesus lived, he is now offering to us. And I can tell you that after many, many years of trying to live like Jesus and trying to follow Jesus, I can tell you I'm really, really bad at it. But Jesus is able to live within me, and I can have a relationship with him, and through Jesus I can have a relationship with the Father where I get to be a much loved son as well. And at everything that Jesus experienced in his relationship with God on this earth, now we get to experience. We get to go and be able to say, not only is Jesus Father the God of all gods, but Jesus Father is now my Father, and we are brothers, and together we can march into this world and take the love of God into this world and the good news about Jesus Christ and to share it with each other. And that message changes hearts and transforms lives. We're not only forgiven, but we're restored in full relationship, the relationship that Adam would have had had he not sinned, if he had continued to walk in faith and faithfulness. Oh, I wish for you, and I pray for you, that you will seek the right Jesus. And I'm just going to ask you this question right now. Who are you seeking? Even as Jesus asked Mary, who is it that you're seeking? Listen, let Jesus be who he really is, and he will show you who you really are. And he will explain to you who the Father really is. And he will restore you into relationship. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we thank you for the death and the resurrection. We thank you for both components. We thank you for sins forgiven. We thank you for a life restored. And so I pray right now that those who are hearing my voice and have not accepted you as their Savior would do so today by repenting of their sins and accepting your offer of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. May this be a wonderful, wonderful Resurrection Sunday for you. The air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. I'm desperate. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe, your whole Desperate, and we're absolutely lost without him. But God made a way through Jesus Christ that our desperation and our lostness could all be cured in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with me.